Unlock the power of your mind. This is Provocative Enlightenment with Eldon Taylor.
Welcome to another hour dedicated to the notion of enlightenment. An hour for inquiry, reflection, questions, and more, all in our effort to understand exactly what enlightenment means and what it is to be enlightened. An hour devoted to exploring the edge of consciousness and all that is implied thereof. An hour that recognizes the nature of the subjective experience as being at least as important as the so-called objective reality we reside within. Indeed, an hour dedicated to learning something more about ourselves, an hour designed to help us go further inward and perhaps challenge some of those old ideas about the world we live in and the people we have become. This is an hour where we strive to evaluate knowledge as inseparable from the total experience of reality. I'm Eldon Taylor, and this is Provocative Enlightenment. All right, our chat room is live, and you can join my partner, Ravinder, there now. She monitors the chat room and sees that your comments and questions do get on the air. So you can log on by going to Eldon Taylor, that's eldontaylor.com/chat. As Ravinder says, don't forget that /chat. All right, Ravinder, it's time for you to welcome everyone and let them know about the team you have working the chat room today.
Hi, everyone. Yes, do come into the chat room. We'd love to have you there. We do have a great team. I have Andrea and Amy working today, which is going to be helpful because Andrea and I are being roped into doing some other stuff, but you will find out about that. So come in the chat room. Even though we're not chatting as much, we can see all your questions and get them on the air.
Roped into? I'm not sure that applies, but
that's
all right.
Loaded in, yes.
Andrea and Ravinder will be joining our conversation today, and in this way they'll break up a long monologue otherwise. So now, Andrea, say hello to everyone.
Hi.
And go ahead.
Hello, everyone out there. Thanks for having me on the show today. I do want to give a shout-out to my sister, Jennifer. She's listening from Topeka, Kansas. She had a birthday on Sunday, so happy birthday, Jennifer.
Happy birthday, Jennifer. That's great. All right. Now, Ravinder and I just returned from Tampa, Florida, where we met many of you in person. The Hay House I Can Do It conference was brilliant, and as one might expect, the energy was incredible. I want to thank all of you who attended my workshop and two-hour presentation for coming, and I would love to see you all the next time. Many of you have already written me about the conference, and I do appreciate your feedback. Mary wrote, I saw you at the Friday all day. I can do it. Magnificent. And Randall wrote, your Saturday workshop truly opened my eyes. Thank you. Well, let me say again, and to all of you, thank you. It was both my pleasure and my honor to share with you. Now, if you were attending, you know we had a drawing. On Friday, we drew for a Prosperity Power album, and the winner of that drawing is Mary Ellsworth. And Mary, from Florida, you will be receiving a notification, a formal notification, and of course, we'll ship that program out to you. That's a $500 program, isn't it, Ravinder?
They are. They're your best set.
And for those that attended on Saturday, the winner is Emily Fuller, and she will be receiving a copy of Mystical Mind. And Emily from Georgia, congratulations also. Okay, every week I read a few of your letters about our show as our way of paying respect to the importance you play in helping us to shape and improve Provocative Enlightenment. Last week, the show featured Lorna Byrne, and we discussed what her angels tell her. For those of you that might have missed that show or are not acquainted with Lorna, this Irish lady claims to have seen angels all of her life. I asked her to come back to the show to take on some potentially difficult questions. Indeed, many of you wrote letters and wanted her back for precisely this reason. Okay, she was willing to do so, and last week we had a number of controversial answers come from Lorna. Obviously, we received a lot of mail. Kay wrote, quote, I just listened to Lorna Byrne's show of November 10th. Here's the thing. I do believe Lorna does indeed see angels. However, from my view, Lorna is not, as yet, able to explain what she is seeing. Lorna appears not to have the information, wisdom, to comprehend what she is witnessing. As for the comment about God making Satan, he liked him better. God being God, I'm going to go out on a limb and say that God, who knows everything, knows before he creates. If there is truth to the law of attraction, is it then possible that Lorna is creating this reality for herself? It does not have to be this reality for all of us. End quote. Suzette wrote, I do think Lorna Byrne was very interesting, though I question her authenticity when she spoke of how God made an angel more powerful than the others. I think that sounds like God has a real ego, which I cannot accept. Of course, that's my feelings. I really don't believe in a devil. I can't imagine looking at people and seeing an evil being with them. I can angels. End quote. Dora wrote, quote, I kept waiting for your extraordinary insights to kick in and speak up about the school of thought of law of attraction and our thoughts creating our reality. Yet you kept allowing your guests to go on and on and on, promulgating thoughts of evil and demons and hell and bad angels, which, by the way, only exist in the human ego mind set of we humans. End quote. I think those three letters pretty well express what many of you had to say about Lorna's statement regarding angels and Satan. Of course, we got opposing letters, but I want to stay focused on this for the moment. Now, I want to respond, but since the next issue is such that my response would be substantially similar, let's look at a couple of letters regarding Lorna's statement that the Course in Miracles was not dictated by Jesus. Kathy wrote, does it really matter who dictated it? It's a very wise book. If we live by the message, there would be peace on earth. John wrote, the book gets its authority because it represents the true teachings of Jesus. If Jesus did not give the book to us, then why should we live by it? Joanna wrote, we can each be an angel, each and every day, if we choose to. What good are beliefs and values if you don't wake up every day and live them? Elaine wrote, my dad gave me, and all of us in the family, A Course in Miracles a long, long time ago before it went big mainstream. I am grateful he did. I found so much in it and refer to it still now and then. I don't know if I ever thought it was truly dictated by Jesus, but I was nourished by it. All right. Different issues on the surface, at least, but sharing a common current. Let's unpack that. Not to defend Lorna Byrne, for that's up to her, but to look at these issues honestly, intellectually, we see that something is happening here that when unpacked look very much like selective belief. In other words, I will choose what to believe on the basis of what feels good to me, what I want to believe, what I already believe. Let me flesh this out a little. I know people who read the Gospels and quote the words of Jesus quite liberally. They speak of his beatitudes, blessings, and unconditional love. They talk of his, quote, turn the other cheek, and quote, philosophy, and assure us that Jesus existed and indeed taught these things. However, many of these same people deny that Jesus ever cleared the synagogue of money changers and or tossed evil spirits out of the swine. They deny that Jesus ever recognized a devil, including when he said, get thee behind me, Satan. So for some, even many in the New Age community, there was once a Jesus who performed miracles and taught us how to live, but this Jesus is different from the biblical Jesus because he simply could not have done these other things. That's convenient. I look on this kind of thinking as dissonant, at the very least, selective, based on nothing intellectual. Now, before I get a ton of letters criticizing me for valuing the intellectual, let me clarify it some. When I look into the world of shoes and ships and sealing wax, I find the human species as having certain inherent characteristics that advantage it over other species. Now, humans cannot swing through the trees with the greatest of ease like a chimpanzee. They cannot outrun a cheetah. They do not swim near as well as a dolphin, and so forth. But what they can and do is use their cognitive abilities in such an advanced manner as to give the world space travel, computers, medicine, and so on. In other words, the gift of our species is the ability to think and reason. To ignore that or to turn your back on it is as foolish as closing your hand in your car door. So either one admits that they are being very selective about what they choose to believe and as such simply discard the remainder of information, even if it is a part of the definition, or they remain dissonant and unaware that they are doing so. That certainly is not a condition we can call being awake, at least in my opinion. Now, let's look at this definition or this notion of definitions. If I was to ask you to imagine a circle with four opposite and equal sides, you would rightly conclude that I was nuts if I really believed such a figure were possible to imagine. So let's turn to the definition and history of angels everywhere in all cultures. There are both good and bad angels. Let me repeat that. In all cultures, there are both good and bad angels. A quick look at the Encyclopedia Britannica and you find that angels and demons are absolutely linked together. All religions hold that there are both good and bad angels, in that bad angels or fallen angels are demons. Okay, now what's the big surprise? There are both good and bad people, and sometimes a bad person becomes good. I remember a murderer on death row in Utah who committed a gross and horrific crime, killing the innocent, and yet later he rehabilitated. So perhaps bad people can become good and their bad act is fixed to a time in their lives. The Afghan man that cut that 14-year-old girl's nose and ears off because she failed to please him and then discarded her committed an evil act, even if he didn't think so. As such, perhaps some evil or bad that occurs happens without the awareness of the doer that the act is evil. Nonetheless, the idea that angels could err just as men should not come as any surprise. Not only that, to insist that there are only good angels is to once again selectively choose what it is that makes you feel good. You know, Freud said in his little book, The Future of an Illusion, quote, "Religion is a sugar-coated neurotic crutch," end quote. He reasoned to this point based largely on how people select what it is that they want to believe. John Wisdom, the philosopher, once said something like this, "Isn't it nice? Doesn't it make you feel good? It's kind of like having daddy at the end of the hall when you have a bad dream and become afraid." Now, one more thing about definitions before we go on. Remember that Kay stated in her letter, quote, "God knows everything and he knows before he creates." Well, think about this. If God is all good, omnibenevolent, then why is there evil in the world? If God is all powerful, omnipotent, then can he build a rock so large he can't lift it? If God is all knowing, omniscient, then everything that is going to happen will happen, and in that sense, our sins or errors are God's, for he created us knowing what we would do. Well then, hey, what kind of free will does that leave us with? I mean, God could have created us all with perfect wills, couldn't he have? If we are to be consistent in our beliefs, then how can we choose definitions that are mutually exclusive? By the nature of the definition, or mutually exclusive by way of history and their origin in our beliefs? To have angels and reject the possibility of demons, or to choose to follow the teachings of a book based on its source when the source is not as advertised is inconsistent. Now that said, I'm not arguing for the veracity of anything Lorna Byrne said, just for some consistency in our own thoughts and beliefs. Now as for the idea of the law of attraction, this is also not new. What you sow is what you shall reap. Words from the Bible. As a man thinketh, so is he. That whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery already in his heart. Words again from the Bible. I could go on, but the idea of thoughts becoming things, of mind as healer or slayer, are very old indeed. There is no implied contradiction to thoughts attracting kind and evil in the world. Indeed, if I wish to avoid evil, I maintain some vigilance about my thoughts to ensure that I attract that which I seek in this world. But, now with this, I'm gonna qualify. Now, this may make me very unpopular with some of you, but look, take a case like Elizabeth Smart, stolen from her home in the middle of the night, tied up and raped every day in the name of God for 9 months. Don't tell me this young lady did something to attract this. I don't understand why bad things happen to good people. I don't claim to be able to know this sort of thing with any real certainty. But when someone tells me that they attracted it or that they deserved it for some past life deed, a karma of kind, I am disgusted by their ignorance of the real world. I don't believe in victims, but there are people who suffer events that if they do not take responsibility to heal them, like this courageous young Elizabeth Smart is doing, then they make victims out of themselves. That said, the so-called law of attraction does not explain everything in our world. Whether it's the Elizabeth Smarts or the 14-year-olds in Afghanistan that we're talking about. That's as I see it. All right, back to our letters. Patty wrote, loved Lorna's interview. She has just the sweetest soul and the biggest heart. What do you think of that, Raph? We got a lot of those letters, but we got them of both kinds. Interesting.
I think so. Most certainly.
That's why we're Provocative Enlightenment. Is that right, Andrea?
That's right. It's in the title.
All right. Mary wrote, I find your website a relief to my sorrow and painful times of my life. Very helpful guidance and instruction as to how to do a spiritual technique. Thanks so much. Well, thank you, Mary. Ursula wrote, hello, Eldon. As a fairly newcomer to Hay House Radio, I really enjoy your program. Thank you for doing this valuable work. And thank you, Ursula, for listening and joining in. All right, that's all the time we're going to take today for our letters, but I do invite you to opine. You can reach me by leaving comments on my website or by emailing Eldon, E-L-D-O-N, at EldonTaylor.com, and or by joining me on Facebook. I do read all of your letters, even though we don't have time to share them all on the air. That said, they do impact our programming, so once again, thank you. Now to today's show. The power of the mind. We have already touched a little on the idea of the mind creating or attracting people, things, and events to our reality. What can we say with a certainty about the mind? Well, let's see. We know that the mind can make you ill and it can make you well. We know that a placebo can literally cure a so-called incurable disease, and there are many documented cases of just that. We know that hysterical illness can spread through a community, causing everyone to fall ill with the same symptoms, real, objectified symptoms, like a rash. And again, we have many examples of that. We know that multiple personality disordered patients can be hypoglycemic in one personality and with a snap of a finger have normal blood sugar in another. We know that the mind possesses the ability to turn up or turn off pain signals. We know that in hypnosis, I can touch you with an ice cube, inform you that I am burning you, and you will blister. We know that in a hypnotic state, your entire body can be placed into a catalepsy, made rigid and stiff like a bar of steel, and then you can be suspended between two chairs with the tip of your heels on one and the back of your head on the other. We know, according to the documented legal history, that there was a time when hypnosis routinely produced levitation. We know when you're under hypnosis, your memory can work like a motion picture, recalling some events in total clarity that are otherwise suppressed. We know that hope plays a major role in the strength of your immune system. We know that your attitude can be used to predict your wellness profile and even to some extent the kind of illnesses you're prone to. We know that minds have far more superior abilities. When evaluating some of the savants of the world, we learn that mind can operate faster than a computer with complicated mathematical problems. Mind can retain literally everything ever read as though it was a computer you were checking a Word document in. Mind can remember perfectly historical events and dates. Mind can perform musical masterpieces without training, and so forth. Shop around just a little for more amazing mental feats, and you will find so-called white crows, like the little girl that awoke in Indonesia from a coma, speaking fluent German, a language she had never studied. How is all of this possible? And what can we do to obtain or maximize our own mental powers? Well, that's the subject of today's show, and we have a special opportunity for all of you that directly relates to developing your personal mind power through the acquisition of hypnosis skills, self-hypnosis skills being specific. So let's get to today's show. Let's begin by having you wonderful ladies, I'm talking about you, Ravinder and Andrea, tell us very quickly about today's special.
You know, we are really happy about the promo that we have today. We had the self-hypnosis training collection available at a special price. We offered this a couple of months ago, I think it was, and it was so popular that we had to go out, get a whole bunch more in just to fill those orders, and now we have some additional ones so that we can offer another amazing special.
And you did a revision, too. I mean, we did some revising and actually increasing the quality of this program, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
Okay.
It is absolutely phenomenal.
And we have a special link. If you go to eldentaylor.com at the top of the page, you'll see the self-hypnosis banner listed there. So eldentaylor.com, click on the link at the top of the page, and you'll be taken to this special promotion, and where you can also get tons of wonderful bonus gifts from all the wonderful partners that we have for this campaign.
Okay. Now, one or both of you, very quickly, in like 2 minutes, tell me this. If I get this program, what can I expect out of it? What can I expect to, I mean, why should I?
You have an invaluable tool that once you have learned how to do it, it is free thereafter. You can use it for anything at any time. I mean, I use self-hypnosis, you know, in the car when I'm bored, at the doctor's office when I'm hanging around, before a presentation when I get nervous and psyched up or, you know, all frazzled, I will use self-hypnosis to get myself to calm down. I also use it myself for my own spiritual growth. So I use it every single night when I go to sleep. It gets me into that correct place, and I get some amazing answers coming out.
You know, I'm going to ask you when we come back from break about some of your own personal experiences, because I met you in London, England at a course on you were taking on psychotherapy and hypnotherapy, and they brought me in and to discuss subliminal and hypnosis, and so I'm going to have you, you know, share some of that, but that'll be after the break. Before we, you know, I'm going to come back. How much is this program?
It's $79.
What was its regular price?
$119.
So it's $119, and you can get it for $79. And the reason you would get it is so you can, what, stop biting nails?
You can do it for whatever you want.
Can you use it for weight loss?
Yes.
Can you use it for smoking cessation?
Weight loss, smoking, learning, you know, discovering your own personal answers. I mean, we often have problems and issues that aren't directly, you know, esteem, weight loss, smoking, but you can go into hypnosis and tap into your subconscious mind to find out what's causing the problem and what the solution is.
Can you use it to increase memory?
Yes.
Can you use it for studying in school?
Yes, as well as pain control. A lot of people do that. Sports performance, athletes use it. Just about any area you can think of.
See, you guys are making me ask you all these hard questions, okay? So the bottom line is, how old do you have to be to use it?
You know, anyone can use it. I think it's probably a little bit harder to teach a small child how to do it, but you can.
12-year-old and older, that's been my experience. And sometimes brighter children are a little bit younger, but they need to have the ability to concentrate, to focus.
But they have great imagination, so you could use it.
They do. You're absolutely right. They absolutely do. I can remember a woman, well, I'll have to tell that story when we get back after the break. But you can also use it for birthing, natural birth.
I have done that, too.
I know.
I've done it at the two ends, as the person giving birth and the other.
All right. Well, when we get back from the break, we'll discuss what's in it, what you can use it for, and we'll talk about the power of hypnosis. You're listening to Provocative Enlightenment on Hay House Radio, Radio for Your Soul. We're discussing mind power and specifically the use of hypnosis to maximize your mind. We'll be right back after these words from our friends. Be sure and stay tuned.
Unlock the power of your mind. This is Provocative Enlightenment with Eldon Taylor.
Welcome back. If you just joined us, we're discussing mind power. But before we get back to today's show, I want to invite you to check out my website and take a look at today's special offer on our self-hypnosis training set. You can do that by going to eldontaylor.com and choosing the self-hypnosis banner smack in the middle of the page. You can't miss it. Finally, be sure to sign up while you're there for the free newsletter. And remember that on eldontaylor.com, you can also access those free MP3 programs that we give to you as just a part of our way of paying it forward. Okay, let's get back to our show. Before the break, I teased you a little bit with an introduction to the idea that I met Ravinder in London, England, when I was lecturing at the National College, and she was taking a course in psychotherapy and hypnotherapy. Actually, I think you had a practice, a hypnotherapy practice at that time, did you not?
I had just started practicing. I had had a few clients and had my successes there, and I started to say right before the break, you know, I've used self-hypnosis myself, you know, when I had the boys, but my first client ever was someone who was pregnant and having a baby, and everyone commented on how relaxed she was during the whole birthing process. It was her big butch bodyguard husband who was the one that fainted, but I didn't do the hypnosis on him, so maybe next time. So yeah, I had a practice, you know, I was doing pretty well. I'd only just started, but then I met you and saw some of your techniques and figured, uh-oh, I need to go back to school. You are definitely the best. I have used a large number of hypnosis programs by other people, some of them pretty famous, well-known, you know, and their hypnosis programs do put me to sleep. There is a difference between real self-hypnosis and being bored to sleep, and your techniques work, and I use them constantly.
You're also biased, so let's get that on the record. But
me?
Thank you very much.
Biased?
Now, yes, you are. Now, when we look at hypnosis and we look at it as a tool, is there a tool that you can think of that that I can take with me anywhere I want, that I don't need any ancillary equipment? I don't need a stereo. I don't need an MP3 player. You know, it's just me. Wherever I go, is there a tool that you can think of that would have near the power of self-hypnosis that goes with you anywhere, everywhere, all the time, for everything?
No, there isn't. I have heard of a technique, I'm trying to remember what it's called, but where you can program a certain word related to a contact. So if you touch yourself on the back of your hand, it will inspire relaxation. Yeah. But I haven't found that effective. It doesn't have the power when I'm in that situation, when I'm uptight or, you know, I have to go and perform somewhere. It doesn't work, but the hypnosis, I can.
But a hypnotist may well give you a post-hypnotic suggestion that would do precisely the same thing until the suggestion wore off. And, of course,
until
if you continue to refer, to refresh that, then for all intent and purposes, it doesn't wear off. So I'm going to come back and say, I mean, from my experience, there is no tool as powerful as self-hypnosis. If I want to, you know, I've been in situations, as you know, where I needed to utilize it for pain control, and it was very effective for that. I've utilized it as a result of the stress that comes when you're testifying in a court of law. One side wants to make you look like you're the hero, and the other side like you're a dirtbag. I've used it to assuage stress and anxiety, and I've used it also to condition myself to change prior beliefs or prior conditioned responses. You know, the guy that pulls in front of you at 5 o'clock traffic, and your natural response is to become angry at him. Well, there was a time, as you know, that that side of me could be. Well, you don't know that so much, because by the time I met you, I was on the other side of it.
By then.
But I was not foreign to anger at a particular point in my life. So it was appropriate to condition it. I think of it as I'm carrying around my own conditioning mechanism Once I learned self-hypnosis, I'm carrying it around. I can condition myself just like Pavlov conditioned dogs. It can be the result of post-hypnotic suggestions. It can be the result of just systematic desensitization. It can be the result of positive programming. So I really, for myself, believe that this is the single most important, single most powerful tool for, you know, personal growth that a person can acquire, can learn. What do you think of that, Ravinder?
I totally agree with you. And it's also lots and lots of fun, too. I think one of the best that I have done is using it in the dentist chair. I had to have the tooth extracted. That was not, the whole experience was horrible and it was painful. But I sat in the chair and I was upset because I had to have this tooth extracted. I'm vain, I admit it. But I was upset about it. I'm in the dentist chair and I use the self-hypnosis and I end up going out talking to my guides and masters at the same time. And that was like, what a great alternative to suffering in the chair.
I think I did that to you once, didn't I?
You actually did. There was actually a hypnosis thing that you did at in Tampa.
Yeah. But that, and I was going to just talk about that. But go ahead.
Yeah. But I was going to say that very hypnosis that you did then, you did to me way, way back. And it was about March, April time of year that you did this for me. And I went into the hypnosis and it felt just a bit like a fancy daydream, you know, and that was nice. And, you know, you go up and up and you talk to your guides and masters, but it could just be a daydream. But there were things I was told in that hypnotized state that would happen. So I was told at the end of November, somebody would come visit. As a result of what they said, you would say something to me. And I had it plugged in. Okay, that means so-and-so is going to come at Thanksgiving. And because of this, it would be a wonderful day. And then you would turn and say this stuff to me. Well, it didn't work out quite that way because the people that came to visit arrived just after Thanksgiving, 2 days after, but still in November. The visit wasn't the most pleasant. It was actually a little bit traumatic. But as a result of it, you turned to me and said exactly what I was told that you would say. And that has to be one of the most phenomenal.
I recall. Now, and the reason I tipped on this one is because I took a lot of meditation courses when I decided to turn, you know, my direction and become more aware and more awake and, you know, less ego-centered and angry and mad at the world for what, you know, everything. And, you know, I had great difficulty with these meditation courses. But when I employed hypnosis, the meditation aspect of it became very easy. It became very easy for me to enter an altered state. And then, as in Tampa, when I decided, you know, instead of counting myself down maybe into my solar plexus, the center of my being, you know, which you can do, you know, and open up chakras, etc. What if I were to just expand my consciousness to contain all of the universe? This technique that we used in Tampa for everybody that attended called Hyperimperia, the same technique you're talking about. And when I did that, there was a transformation in the quality of my own meditation. So the point I want to make is that where, you know, self-hypnosis is a very valuable tool for all the practical things that we do on a daily basis, it is also, in my view, a doorway into these altered states of consciousness that get us beyond the limitations and barriers of our daily mundane way of dealing with life. Andrea, now, I know that you just got a self-hypnosis course, that you're just starting with a self-hypnosis course, and that your very first, here we go, trip to the world of altered states of consciousness was akin to what you call sleep. Is that correct?
That's how I would describe it. But
And you know, that is a very common response. I can recall I used to, of course, use hypnosis in forensic settings all the time, as I specialized at one time in forensic hypnosis. And it's not at all uncommon for an individual. In fact, it's very common for an individual to report that, well, you know, I don't think I was hypnotized. I mean, I think I went to sleep, didn't I? And that same person, while they were sleeping, would be doing arm catalepsies, would be telling me about, you know, the kind of a gun that was involved, etc. But as you acquire the skill, it becomes more like lucid dreaming. You enter these altered states, and we tend to think of, I mean, when do we know alpha brainwave activity? Well, for the average person, we know that activity only when we're falling asleep, having a dream, or coming up out of sleep, you know, in those twilight stages. Because in our normal everyday life, we're in beta consciousness. So in beta is just, you know, a way of counting brainwave activity. In fact, I probably ought to make that clear. Beta consciousness, for all intent and purposes, is, you know, 15 to 30 cycles per second, typically. It can be more than that. But 8 to 14 is alpha. And alpha is that state that's commonly associated with hypnosis. Now, deep hypnotic states, you may get into theta, which is really the 4 to 8 cycles per second. And theta is a state that, for all intent and purposes, we often see associated with monks who have the ability to control their body temperature or do other phenomenal things, eyes wide open, by just simply communicating with their mind what they want their body to do. So to me, this is a doorway that makes it possible to do all kinds of things that most people only imagine. Your experience, Andrea, you fell asleep and then what?
Then I woke up.
And then you woke up. Okay. That's it. End of story. What have you got to add to our program then?
I'm learning. I think that a lot of people out there have a lot of questions about hypnosis and what it is, especially since there's a lot of myths out there from what they see on TV. You know, can somebody else hypnotize me, or what's going to happen when I'm under hypnosis? Just a lot of questions, I think. That you could probably answer, like, you know, what can you expect from hypnosis? Can somebody hypnotize you without you knowing about it?
Well, the answer to that is that's possible. And there are people that will use techniques like NLP, mirror matching, etc., to, induce a heightened state of suggestibility, and I suppose you can call that a wide awake kind of hypnosis. But that goes on every day. You sit down in front of your television set, average person is going to go into alpha brainwave state in under 3 minutes. And the minute they do so, I mean, as this brainwave state changes, your, you know, activity is going to shift from the left to the right hemisphere for us typically left hemisphere dominant people. And that's going to release neurochemicals, and those neurochemicals are the good ones, the endorphins that make us feel good. And you can see why it's so easy for someone to become addicted to television. Is the place that they just zone out, leave their problems, you know, and dump it all. Well, in that sense, technically there are many ways for a person to be placed into alpha states of consciousness while they're wide-eyed. And if we call that hypnosis, well, then the answer to your question is yes. The answer to the latter part of your question, no. Who can be hypnotized? And the only people that really can't be hypnotized are individuals that either, one, are aware of the techniques and choose to maintain vigilance, you know, I'm going to tend to all of my activities, and or for all intent and purposes, they don't have the ability to concentrate. They can be mentally impaired. But even very young children, ages 6 and 7, my son had a fear of school when we first enrolled him in school. And when he was very young, we introduced him to hypnosis. So as Ravinder says, if you have a rich imagination and you can imagine and begin to follow a storyline, then you're very hypnotizable. Now, what needs to be understood, however, is You know, when you see stage hypnosis, and I used to demonstrate this for law enforcement people, but when you see stage hypnosis and somebody, you know, barks like a dog or they cock like a chicken and you think, boy, I don't want anything to do with that. Well, the fact is you're not going to do anything typically under hypnosis that you wouldn't otherwise do. Without ever hypnotizing people, you know, I could call upon an audience and say, you know, how many of you would like to come up here and volunteer to participate in some foolhardy stuff? And I'm going to have volunteers. The hands go up, and I can bring them up, and I can walk over to them and touch him on the forehead, say, you're hypnotized, now bark like a dog. But I don't even have to touch him on the forehead. The fact is, they have a personality that wants to show off. They want to be the center of attention. And those are the kinds of people that end up on the stage performing these feats. Now, hypnotists, mentalists, know how to test people to determine just how susceptible or how willing they're going to be to do that. So that's all part of the stage thing. Does that answer your question?
Yes, it does.
We have some callers that have been patient here, and we have some questions out of the chat room, comments out of the chat room. So let's take a phone call. We have Angela from Sacramento on line one. Angela, welcome to Provocative Enlightenment. How can we, what is your question today?
Well, I'm dealing with some chronic pain, and so I was just kind of after listening to your whole program, you know, I see how the hypno and the meditation helps, but I was just asking to see, you know, what you suggest to get through that. You know, I definitely agree the power of the mind can help, you know, heal that.
One of the things that I really like to do, Angela, is pay it forward. And for me, you know, I'm one of those people, the proof is in the pudding. And I see here on the board that it says you're in chronic pain, incontractable pain. So you're on meds for that, right?
No medication, not yet. I'm still, it's pretty new what's happening just this past year. So I've never had anything like this before, so.
This is what I'm going to do, Angela. I've been telling you all about how you can use this program, how you can use hypnosis for pain control.
Yeah.
I've seen people that have been referred to me by healthcare professionals for chronic pain, including, you know, major surgery like a steel rod placed in your back where, you know, there was a limitation to the kind of pain med that you can have. So this is what I'm going to do. You don't go away. We have two wonderful producers today, Mitch and Joe, and one of them, I think Joe, is going to get your details, and I'm going to send you this hypnosis program that we're talking about today as my gift, but I'm going to ask you then, in a month or so, maybe 6 weeks, I want you to call back. And I want you to, you know, just, you know, tell the entire audience, myself included, either this is what I said it is or it isn't. So you can say, you know, look, Eldon, you're out to lunch. I did it and it didn't work. Or you can say, you know, it's unbelievable. Whatever worked. How's that?
Yeah, sounds great. Thank you.
Deal. All right, Angela, you stay on the line and Joe will get your information, okay?
Thank you.
Thanks for calling. All right, let's take a phone call. Betty from Toledo, Ohio. Betty, welcome to Provocative Enlightenment. What is your question?
Thank you for taking my call.
It's indeed our pleasure.
I have high blood pressure. I purchased your Lower Your Blood Pressure tape, and I listen to that every day. Sometimes I only play it once. Sometimes I play it two or three times. I still have the high blood pressure, and I wonder if I'm doing something wrong.
Okay. Well, let's back up now. Okay. When you say you have high blood pressure, be specific. What is your blood pressure?
160 over, well, the bottom varies between 60 and 80.
Okay. And are you seeing a healthcare professional?
Yes, and they give me pills, and the pills make me so sick.
Okay, so you're not on any meds for it right now.
No.
Are you exercising?
Not enough, obviously.
Okay. Have you taken out the, here's where I go to, okay, why the questions. Have you taken out the affirmation card that came with the program and read it thoroughly, slowly, thoughtfully, to determine if everything that's on that card is already something you're doing and you believe?
I've read it. I listen to your show every week, so at first I did not read it. And one shows you mentioned that, so I did read it, but I don't read it every time. Should I be?
No, not every time, but when you've read it, do you agree with everything that's on it?
I believe I do. I don't remember seeing anything that, you know, I didn't.
Okay.
That I had a problem.
So what's on the program would already be in your head, already be what you think, what you believe.
Some of it is very technical stuff, like, a couple of the things I had to look up what they meant. It's medical things, and I believe them because you said them.
Okay. Well, I guess what I'm getting to is, you know, if when you're listening to a program, everything that's on the program is something you're already doing, something you already believe. You know, it's kind of like a non-smoker listening to a stop smoking tape. They don't smoke, so it's not going to do them any good. If all the messages are easily, I mean, if you have incorporated them, then maybe what we should be looking at is exercise or dietary issues. You know what I'm going to do, though, Betty? One thing that I've used for my own blood pressure is hypnosis, and so I'm going to send you this hypnosis set, and you use it. You go back and read those affirmations for me, and when you do that, if you see that, well, I already agree with all of these, then look at your lifestyle, what your diet is, what your exercise is, and start thinking about how you could change that. But I'm going to send you the self-hypnosis program, hypnosis and meditation, as you know, meditation particularly. Our cardiac care specialists today tell us, go do it, meditate every day, because it's the best way in the world to lower blood pressure. Stay on the line, and Mitch or Joe, get your details, okay?
Thank you so much.
Thank you for calling. All right, ladies, we have like 2 minutes. You know, what do you want to say? I'll give you 30 seconds apiece.
I'll say for everybody to go to eldentaylor.com and click on the banner at the top of the page and read about self-hypnosis and the special offer that we have. And, that's my message.
Okay.
You know, I would say lots of people are concerned about, they're afraid of hypnosis or being hypnotized because they think their control gets taken away. That is the advantage with self-hypnosis, because you are in control. The other question that I saw in the chat room as well was someone was saying they didn't feel as though they went under. Well, for that, I would say the proof is in the pudding. Once you start working with self-hypnosis, you will start having experiences that are your own, that are verifiable. So,
what do you get? Tell people what they learn. I mean, you've got a list of things that you get out of this. What is it that you learn, Andrea?
One of the things you can do is to recover buried memories and train new behavior.
Okay, but
patterns,
I mean, you get deepening techniques.
Yeah.
You're going to learn progressive relaxation. Come on.
Several hypnosis sessions, how-to examples, induction, deepening.
Auto-hypnosis, post-hypnotic cues,
subliminal affirmations in the background as well.
Yeah. A whole bunch of tips as to how you can have this technique and have it benefit, you know.
And a booklet that comes with it.
Complete training manual.
Yes.
Uh-huh. It does. Mm-hmm. It's got all the information right there, too.
All right. And if they go to the website, they can read all the details, and they can even read testimonials from people that have gotten it, for that matter.
And
you
the
know,
package is normally $120.
All right. Well, we've come to the end of another hour of Provocative Enlightenment. I want to thank all of you for joining us, and I hope you enjoyed our show, and will join us again next week, same time, same place. And if you like our show, do let us all know. Write me. Okay. Until next time, wherever you are in the world, remember, believing in yourself always matters.